It's a brand new day, and we're putting the AM in American politics. We've seen the darkness of division and despair and are now jumping into the light of a bright path forward. Progress is here, and we're sharing its story with you, for you, all with the help of Signal Boost. Now, here are your hosts, Zerlina Maxwell and Jess McIntosh.
Welcome to Signal Boost. This is Jess McIntosh. I'm here with Zerlina Maxwell, and we are joined today by Igor Bobik. He's the senior national political reporter for HuffPost. And the reason why you saw that incredible footage of Eugene Goodman inside the Capitol, where he was broadcasting live throughout that day, we talked to him once a year ago, and we're very excited that he's able to join us again to tell us about how things are going.
Igor, thank you so much for taking some time today. I'm sure that this is a busy one for you, in addition to being one you probably want to spend some time by yourself in.
Thanks for having me. Glad to be back.
Good morning.
I think it was probably, I mean, it was what, like it was almost a year ago to the day that we talked to you. It was just a couple of days after the insurrection when you had shot that. I mean, you were one of the first, your footage was some of the very first behind the scenes images that we got detailing exactly how dangerous things were inside the Capitol that day. We have since seen hours of footage that showed exactly how close people came to death. But I think the footage that you shot of Officer Eugene Goodman, like single-handedly holding back the insurrectionists, was the first image that we got. So was there, you experienced this different than the rest of us. The rest of us were watching it on television. You were actually in there. At what point during the day did you realize that things were as bad as we realized when we saw the footage that you shot? Were you under any illusions at any point during the day that this was okay or normal, or even just a few angry people? Or did you spend the entire day knowing that lives were very much at risk?
Well, the first realization of how bad it really was came when I finally looked outside the window. Before I, you know, shot that video or anything like that, I was intently focused on watching a little TV camera above the Senate floor where I was, you know, covering the events going on inside the chamber. So I had no idea what was going on outside until after, you know, that dramatic heroic moment by Goodman. Did I look out a window and see just thousands of people milling about trying to get into the building, where I realized, oh man, there's just no place where we can go anymore. They're everywhere. This is actually happening. And in that moment, things really finally started to dawn on me.
Right. I think
we've since learned.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead, Z.
I was just going to say, I think it makes me think a lot about the fact that, like, if you haven't ever been to the Capitol, it's hard to imagine what that sort of feels like, and understanding that as you're looking out of that window, you work in that building, so you have an understanding of, oh wait, if I can see all of these people, that means there's nothing in between these people and me, right? In a complex like the Capitol, where you're going into that building every day, I mean, having been to the Capitol and understanding you have to go through the metal detectors and you have to be on the list and, you know, in some instances to get certain places. But for the most part, it is a public building with a large security presence that should prevent those people from being in your eye line when you're looking out of that window. Can you give us a sense of, you know, as you're having that realization, when you look out that window and you see those people and you have that realization, you know, and then you're like, I'm a reporter, you kick into that instinct. You know, what were the kinds of things that you, if you were having these thoughts, trying to capture, right? As you end up with Eugene Goodman, you have no idea the full even context of that, right? We didn't learn until later that Mitt Romney was down the hall. We didn't know that yet. And you didn't, obviously, in real time. So given, you know, the fact that your reporter instincts kicked in, what types of things were you seeing and then compelled, in addition to Eugene Goodman, to capture, that you felt would at least help all of us understand what was happening on the inside, because that's where we weren't. We didn't have eyes on the inside.
You know, there were so many scenes that I saw that were surreal and so incredible to believe that I had 0 seconds to process. I mean, it was like one after another after another, that I, you know, luckily I somehow got stranded outside the safe area, which was the Senate chamber itself, with every senator and staffer being locked inside. You know, I had nowhere to go, essentially. I couldn't leave. I couldn't hide. So I did the best I could trying to capture everything on my phone, you know, try to talk to people who were there to see what they were doing. The whole day was filled with extremely scary moments, but then also weirdly hilarious and darkly twisted mm-hmm. moments where, you know, you had people coming up to you asking you where the bathroom was, as if you were mm-hmm. a tour guide or something. And it was just, I'm just standing there trying to appear as invisible as possible. Hopefully one of these guys doesn't take a flagpole to my face or something like that. And you know, I remember walking into the Senate chamber, watching people rappel down to the floor, screaming out, you know, Trump won that election. Just very, very bizarre scenes where, you know, this thing has never happened before. And yeah. I'm still trying to process this as it's happening in live time, while I'm trying to do my job. It was just unforgettable experience.
How are you doing? Like we talk a lot about the trauma that we all experienced that day. The trauma that was experienced in that building is of a completely different order of magnitude than those of us who were doing the existential, wow, our democracy is crumbling, as opposed to, oh, my life is in danger. You have to keep going back to work there. You know, you don't get to that. This is your job. This is your vocation. This is your passion, and you're really good at it. So this is where you work. What has that experience been like going back into that building that we all had like such strong, warm feelings about, that has changed completely? And you're covering Republican members of Congress who were largely supportive of the violence that day. How are you handling that?
I wish I could tell you it's easy. You know, yeah. As you said, the Capitol is never going to be the same for us, and it's never going to be the same for me. Every day I retrace the steps, the steps or the hallways that I took on the 6th, where, you know, that looked like straight out of a war zone or a zombie movie. I find myself now interviewing lawmakers on the same steps where I shot that video of Goodman running for his life and me for my life, about routine, you know, dry news of the day, boring time, you know, bills, nominations. And you just can't help mm-hmm. but think and have your mind wander off and think about that day. The funny thing, it's not funny, but the interesting thing is there's no historical marker yet, I hope, set up at the Capitol to tell people about what happened that day. You know, if you were a visitor coming in for the first time, right. There's nothing for you to read about what happened. There's all this historical information about, you know, the War of 1812 and how the Capitol burned down when the British came in. But still, there's nothing to tell people what happened. And it feels, I don't know. I don't know how it feels. I feel like it should be marked more. And I'm not sure why it hasn't yet.
We were talking about psychiatrists
even saying what happened.
Yeah, we were talking to a psychiatrist earlier this morning about closure and the fact that one of the difficult pieces of this whole situation is that you can't have closure when you have so many people denying what actually happened, even those who mm-hmm. were there themselves, and sort of the gaslighting that's taken place since. And I just keep thinking, as you talk about sort of this bizarre scenes or the funny, darkly funny scenes, and when you mention somebody asks, you know, people are asking like, where's the bathroom? Like, okay, did you get a sense that the people participating knew what was happening as well? Like, were you like, this is an attack on the Capitol? Or, you know, we were talking earlier in the show about how it was like, oh, it's the cosplay, you know, QAnon shaman.
Cups, right.
You know, yeah. This is like sort of some jokers, and this is a little bit of a clown show, versus being a very serious, imminent threat, like a bodily harm and death.
In the moment, I thought that this was a group of, you know, 24 people who first somehow got into the Capitol. They didn't know where the entrances to the Senate chamber were. They didn't know where the lawmakers themselves were. They, you know, they kept shouting, "Where are they?" They clearly, if they took a right turn instead of a left turn where Goodman led them away, they could have wound up in the Senate chamber, and God forbid, I don't even know what would happen at that point. So, you know, in that sense, some of these people do seem like they didn't know what the hell they were doing. But on the other hand, I didn't realize how close I came to the Proud Boys, members of the Proud Boys, right, groups like that who were there, who breached the building first in that first wave, who were organized enough, who you know, had Kevlar and things to break into the building with. So I think there was definitely an organized element to this.
How long were you in the Capitol that day, and what was it like when you finally left?
I was in the Capitol over 24 hours, I believe. I left around 6 a.m. the next morning. Still remember walking, hearing the shards of glass under my feet, you know, walking through the rotunda, and it was just ransacked.
Yeah. It feels like every time we talk to somebody who was in the Capitol, it is so obvious what happened. And then we move away from that conversation and we talk about what happened in America. And at this point, there's, you know, some 30 to 40% of Americans who think that that was more or less justified. They believe the big lie. Mm-hmm. As a reporter, you talk to all kinds of people for all kinds of stories. Do you ever find yourself on the other end of one of those where you're talking to somebody who is denying what you actually experienced that day in the Capitol yourself from their armchair in wherever in the country? Do you ever run into that?
You know, today, even I still get emails and tweets telling me that what I recorded and what I shot was fake, that I somehow staged it.
Whoa.
It's sad and, you know, sort of predictable of where we are as a country at this moment. I know for me, covering Republicans now, it's different, right? I mean,
I'm sure.
Before the attack, I gave more credit to some of these people than I do now. I can't quote some of these people. You know, I can't joke around with them, knowing right. that they actively participated and they fueled this attack and now continue to deny it. So it's been tough.
So does the chamber feel different? Like the comedy of the chamber, like there was always, at least when I worked on the Hill, there was always such a performance of, you know, congeniality across the aisle. Everybody's my friend, everybody's this, everybody, you know, eats lunch together, rides the elevator, has these like silly little jokes that they play out in the hallway, even though they, you know, they can't stand how the other one legislates, et cetera, et cetera. That's always been the case. But like, has that dynamic changed? Are people more openly hostile to the people who were pro-violence that day?
Yeah, I mean, if there's one way to compare it, I don't know if you guys have seen the movie Don't Look Up, the new climate change movie.
Hilarious.
Yeah, it sort of feels a little bit like that. You know, you have one group of people who yeah. just refuse to recognize what happened, and we're all over here screaming at them to look up, and it's not working. So things are definitely more hostile in the House, which is a lot uglier. I would even venture to say broken, to be honest with you.
Wow.
Where members just can't stand each other. Yeah. You had members move offices because they were the member right next to them was a crazy person. And then, you know, they can't even bear to be in the same space with each other. In the Senate, things are a little bit more back to normal, and it's very odd to see given what happened. people still are working together. There are working relationships. You had people like Ted Cruz and John Kennedy who objected to the electoral results, still working with Democrats on certain issues. On the other hand, you have Democrats who say that it's poisoned the atmosphere, and they're finding it harder to work with Republicans who did that. So definitely an impact there in terms of working relationships.
One of the things I think a lot about is, as a reporter who's, as you said, standing on steps talking about even day-to-day issues with some of these folks, is the fact that, as a, on a human level, because we've been talking all morning about just like the humanity of this moment. We were talking about trauma responses being, evidence of the fact that everything's working right. You are a human being. And this is, scientifically what happens when everything is functioning. I mean, this is a traumatic experience for so many people. When you're looking at those Republicans in the eye, right, that lived through this but are denying the experience or are justifying the actions of the people who committed acts of violence on that day, what do you see in their eyes, right? Like, they believe it? Are they just saying it for the
That's
camera?
yeah, I don't know which one's worse. Do you is it worse to believe it and to lie about it, or to actually believe it, like Taylor Greene and some of those people?
I don't know. I don't know the answer.
Most
I'm trying to figure out,
yeah.
what the do is their humanity
What animal
still
are we
all
dealing with
there?
here?
That's that's my question.
Yeah, I mean, you talk to Republicans today, even especially the ones who objected to the electoral results, and they'll give you a stock answer about, the riot was unlawful and these people should go to jail. And then they'll completely avoid the follow-up, which is, well, this was your president that you supported who did this. They will shy away from that question. They won't answer. They'll walk away. They'll run away. So it's still not something they're willing to address.
Were you relieved that Trump canceled his press conference today? Did you have concerns about a repeat or some sort of offshoot of violence in respect to whatever he said or was planning on saying?
I don't think I had worries about violence so much as I was worried that it was going to become a spectacle. Was hoping that, not every cable network was going to be there broadcasting live whatever thing that he decided to spew out of his mouth. It was more in that regard that I'm glad he's not doing it. But he's still around, and Republicans are still might maybe nominate him for president again. I don't know. It hasn't really changed
Speaker.
anything.
We could get him sooner than that. I don't know. Are there any signs of hope? Is there anything that makes you hopeful a year later?
Oh boy.
Sorry.
maybe you should come back to me next year. Yeah, I was trying to make a New Year's resolution, 2022. Like, what's some fun and happy things that are going to happen this year? I'm struggling.
Oh, I came up with one item. Survive.
Oh,
That
yeah?
was it. That was all I
Survive.
got on my
Okay.
list. That was survive 2022. That was my to-do list. Goal list for 2022. I couldn't come up with anything. I was sitting there like, I'm at a loss. Survive day to day. Wake up.
I already struck out going to the gym, so
No, I don't think you don't go to the gym
you don't
today.
have to go to the
You
gym
don't go to
today
the gym today.
unless it,
You
you
don't
feel
do
like it will
anything
help.
today
Yeah.
yet that yes you don't do anything today that you don't think is going to help either the rest of us understand what happened a year ago today or your own damn self to feel a little bit better. So just Igor, take care of yourself today, and thank you for joining us this morning. It was
Thank you
really
so much.
excellent to be able to talk to you again.
Thank you, guys.
Stay safe.
Get some rest.
We'll be back tomorrow with another Signal Boost podcast. Thanks for listening.